Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. And here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon. And thanks, everybody, for joining us as always. Our Republican National Committee woman from Virginia will be talking to us here shortly to bring us up to speed on where we are in the politics of the Republican Party across this nation. Of course, STAND is a nonprofit organization, and we'll be happy to have a Democrat come on and talk, but they don't want to talk to us because we come from a Judeo-Christian perspective, and that's why we have Patty Lyman on today, because that's the perspective that she comes from too, and I can't wait to hear what she's got to say. So let's say a word of prayer, and by that time we should have her patched in. Heavenly Father, our country is in trouble, and the trouble seems to deepen day by day. And the trouble is not only external. We've got a war in Israel, and we're sending ships and troops there, and we've got a war in Ukraine, and we're sending billions of dollars there, even though I and many others believe we should not be. We've got an invasion at our southern border. We've got crime in our streets. We've got the income of the American people eroding as a result of inflation and the excessive spending of this administration. We've got China essentially controlling some of the most essential products that have to be manufactured for our country and our people. And China is clearly an adversary at best, and to the truth be told, an enemy in actuality. And yet, Lord, we've got an administration that seems only too happy to sell us out to the highest bidder, a family that's made money by selling influence in the United States government to people who do not have our best interests at heart by any stretch of the imagination. But Lord, here we are. What do we do? Well, Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And Lord, to some extent, we're in that same quandary. Although there are some things we can and should be doing, and we know that involvement in the political life of our country is one of them, trying to bring the right values and the right principles to our country, the founding principles, the principles that made America the greatest nation on earth. So we thank you for these leaders who are on the line now, for their commitment to this country, their commitment to you, their commitment to righteousness. And we thank you for Patty Lyman, Lord, who's risen to a position of leadership in the Republican Party. And we pray for her because we know that not everyone in the Republican Party agrees with her worldview and mine. But we need people of her worldview in the mix, in the discussion, helping to shape the policy perspectives that are so critical to maintaining this country and securing our future. And so, Lord, we commit this call into your hands. We commit ourselves. We commit our country into your hands, O God. And we pray for those folks in Maine who just went through a terrible ordeal. And, Lord, we pray that the policies that come out of these terrible tragedies would actually help get treatment for the mentally ill and help the law-abiding to be in a position to defend themselves against the danger that surrounds them, rather than disarming law-abiding citizens and allowing the criminals and the people who mean us ill to walk free. So, Lord, we commit America into your hands. You said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and that's what we want America to be. We want America to be a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, there are forces at work. We don't want that at all. But, Lord, we side with you. And we know that means they get defeated. So we thank you and we praise you for that. This is our hope for the future. This is our hope for the new Speaker of the House, our hope for the next President of the United States. And this is our hope for every active Christian patriot in this land, that they will rise up and claim their rightful place and the rightful legacy of this nation, that we are a land of freedom and hope and opportunity. We are the land of the free because we are the home of the brave. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, amen. That's the voice of Patty Lyman. Patty, it's great to have you on. Thanks for taking time to join us. Well, look, you've been on the call before, so I think everybody is very interested to hear from you. So you go ahead and take the floor. You've got 15 minutes. You can take a little bit more if you need it, a little less if you want. No? And then we'll open it up for questions and comments after you've had an opportunity to sort of share with us what's on your heart.
Well, thank you, Bishop. It's always my privilege to be with you. And I was really uplifted by your prayer, just that refocus again on He whom we look to for every good thing. You mentioned the new speaker, and you know that was a tumultuous period. And I look at the 8 brave members of the House that held our former speaker accountable under the rules, that held him accountable for him not keeping his promises, not just to them, but to the American people, to the grassroots. And they were under withering attack, but God was working all along. And that small group of 8, including our dear friend Bob Good, our 5th District Congressman in Virginia, they took 5 smooth stones, Bishop. That's what they had. And they took aim, and God gave them the victory and delivered us a speaker who, from all appearances, seems far beyond what I even dreamed of that we would get. He's the first, in my lifetime, he's the first Speaker of the House with even the appearance of being a godly person. And I'm so excited. But what God reminded us of again is a few people called of him can make a huge difference. If there's anything I've learned during my time at the Republican National Committee, it's that the tail can wag the dog. A few people pushing forward. So I'm super encouraged about that. Everyone, at every bit of prayer that we can get, we need, because we are going into a season which is fraught with risk. I mean, I'm not even going to mention all of the influences going against righteousness and against those that want the best for our country. I won't even mention those, but it's a season where the things that we hold dear are under attack. At the RNC, I think I've mentioned before, there's been a big push to advance the LGBTQ political agenda. And for the last year, almost 2 years, I've been fighting that tooth and nail. We've been pushing back, and so far successfully. But, you know, it's trying at times. I don't know if everyone on the call is aware of some other recent victories that we've had. California wanted to change their state party platform. They wanted to change it. They wanted to essentially throw out the pro-life plank and turn it into basically 2 sentences. We Republicans want fewer abortions, and we want adoption to be easier. That's it. They wanted to take the platform down to that on abortion, stop any kind of support for limits on abortion or stopping abortion. And they completely took out any reference to a man and a woman and a mother and a father being the best environment to raise a child in. They took that out too, making all families equal. And I really believe that the plan was, if they could push that through in California, and the California chair that pushed this is a very, very close ally of the RNC chair and other people at the RNC, you know, pushing that agenda. And do you know that a grassroots movement in California rose up, led by the wonderful Harmeet Dillon? She led the floor fight. Do you know that 2-1, the delegates at the California State Convention defeated that new platform, that watered-down platform? They kept their same platform from before. You're probably also aware that recently the National Federation of Republican Women were having elections to have new leadership, and our local chapter put forward a resolution that basically said that women are women and men are men, and our members in the Republican Women's Club are biological women. That passed in Virginia, but when something like that was suggested for the National Federation of Republican Women, the head of it, the president of NFRW, said, no, absolutely, we will not entertain that. We don't want to get involved in that. We might get sued, so we won't take a position on that. The National Republican Federation, Federation of Republican Women, would not take a position on what a woman is. I'm not making this up. They had a slate of officers that they had chosen that were also were kind of pushing that LGBTQ agenda and were more liberal. And usually when the national organization picks their slate that they're advancing to take over for the next term, I mean, it's pretty much a done deal. Do you know that a conservative slate of patriot women ran from the floor of that convention and they won? The conservative women won, and they are going to be heading up the National Federation of Republican Women.
Praise God.
Yes. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And frankly, what we just saw with getting in the new speaker and moving out Kevin McCarthy and his lieutenants, who would have been, you know, just as unfaithful to the grassroots as he has been, that victory, that was a grassroots victory. When people stand up like Bob Good, like the 8, or when the people stood up back in January and made Kevin McCarthy go 15 rounds before he got elected speaker, there were all these criticisms that, oh, well, there's only 20 of them. They're not even 10% of the conference. You know, why should we listen to them? Well, they represent about 85 to 90% of Republican voters. And we saw the same thing here. With 8 people challenging the speaker, oh, it's only eight. No, they had massive, massive numbers of grassroots Republicans behind them. And that is why the tail can wag the dog. We, in my view, we have a brand new Republican Party. In the last 6 to 8 years, quite a bit, I mean, since Trump came in. But in the last 3 years, since all of us, Bishop, watched the travesty of the 2020 election, and we saw, and since then, we've seen the abuses from the Biden administration, and we've seen the weaponization of government, and we've seen how outrageous it's become. People have come out of the woodwork to participate in our democracy. They are joining the Republican Party. They are taking over from the unit committee level all the way up through the states and all the way up through the Speaker of the House. And I will tell you also that, you know, we were all disappointed that Ronna McDaniel was reelected for another 2-year term after, you know, failing so badly for the last 6 years. She was elected again as RNC chair. Two-thirds of my colleagues, and, you know, there are reasons for that, but basically 100% of the grassroots were opposed to her reelection, but two-thirds of my colleagues just disregarded and frankly insulted their grassroots and voted the other way. But if about 33 votes had gone the other way, then Ronna would not have been elected as chair. 33 votes. Since we had the chair election, in the last 10, 11 months, we've had a handful of elections, whether for party chairs or committee people that have to step down for whatever reason. We've had a tiny handful of elections of the 168 members of the Republican National Committee who voted on Ronna and voted on, you know, everything else there that's important. I'm one of them. Do you know that we have flipped six seats from establishment McCarthy, Ronna supporter type members to 6 Patriot members? That's only on a handful of elections, Bishop. This coming year, about 130 of us out of the 168 are going to be up for election, and we already are identifying candidates around the country to challenge members of the 168 who betrayed their grassroots. We are transforming the Republican National Committee by changing our membership, and we are transforming it to an America First, traditional, conservative, God-respecting, God-fearing body who puts the grassroots first.
Amen. Well, Patty, that is a tremendous report. And I have to tell you, I've had a lot of people say this to me, you know, you ought to just leave the Republican Party. You ought to just give up on the Republican Party. And I know what they're thinking of. They're thinking of these elitists like Ronna McDaniel and some others who really don't have the best interests of the country and certainly don't have the best interests of the Republican Party at heart. They're basically maneuvering for themselves. It's about them and about whatever agenda they have. So your report could give people a lot of encouragement that the grassroots see what's going on, don't like it, and it's beginning to change. I'm very encouraged by that.
There's reason to be encouraged. There's reason to be optimistic. We are, you know what, the Republican Party is a bottom-up party. We cannot be led as a top-down party. The Democrats are a top-down party. We are a bottom-up party. You look back at 2021 when we had the victories that we had here in Virginia, which were so nationally important. I can't overemphasize the amazing impact that we had on the rest of the country and that we will have in 2023 should God bless us and give us victory in these elections. But if you look back at 2021, the parents coming out against the critical race theory being taught in school, that was a huge thing. And, of course, the only reason that happened is because of COVID. The kids were doing school at home, and so that's how parents found out about it. But when the parents came out and got very, very passionate about that, Governor Youngkin, who was always interested in education, but he listened to them, and he moved his campaign in that direction. But in the midst of that, Bishop, when that news came out about Loudoun County, about the school board and the administration in Loudoun County hiding the fact that a little girl had been raped and sodomized in the bathroom by a man in a skirt in the transgender bathroom that they had put in place. When that news got out, we had an earthquake, an absolute earthquake. Now, I think it's fair to say that Governor Youngkin was not planning on getting in the down and dirty of the culture wars when he started running for governor. He's not a red meat kind of a guy. But he heard the grassroots, and he listened, and he followed them. And everything that our public officials do, Bishop, everything that they do, everything that they emphasize should come. It should bubble up from the grassroots and be the things that we care about.
Amen. Folks, press star 6 to get in queue. As Patty can speak, since she's a national Republican committee woman, she can speak not only to the issues of Virginia, but to the issues that are going on nationwide, particularly with regard to the Republican Party. So I talked to one of your colleagues in Arkansas, Patty, not too long ago, and he was sharing with me how upset he is with Ronna McDaniel and her leadership. So what is the likelihood of being able to remove her? Because, as you said, two-thirds of your colleagues voted with her. How does that work when the grassroots understand that she's violating the platform and violating our principles?
Well, she has said, of course, she said this last time. She has said that she's not running again. And another thing that made it hard, and Bishop, I'll never understand this, but for some reason, my favorite president handed Ronna McDaniel that job 4 times in a row. I understand the first time, but I don't understand the rest. But he did that. So, you know, the president and his people were supporting her in that. And it's hard to go against him. I don't know what he'll do when he is the nominee and then president again. I'd certainly like to see him make changes. But the most effective thing that we can do is what we're doing right now, and that is identifying Patriot candidates in these states where these members got, for lack of a better term, bought off with positions, with titles, with committee chairmanships, with, you know, fearing that their state won't get money if they don't endorse Rana. I mean, there was a lot of pressure like that. So we want to run Patriots against them in their state and hang around their neck that they went completely against their grassroots. And that's one way that we change the 168, and that won't just affect who's elected chair. That will affect how a lot of things are done at the RNC. But, you know, every time we split someone out, we put in someone who is a America First patriot to replace an establishment, you know, I can't even think of a term, an establishment person. Every time we do that, then that's one less ally that will go along with whatever the top of the RNC wants to have done. That's one less ally to go along with it, and that's one more ally to push back. We do a lot of pushing back, and I'm on the resolutions committee. I'm one of eight people that gets a vote on what goes to the main floor of the RNC and what doesn't. I was elected to that position by my region, and we're putting forth policies there that we're recommending as the RNC, and we want to have influence on what policies are. I mean, because the Senate and the House, they've not been really putting out Republican policies that represent us or cause people to want to support us, but we are. We're putting out effective resolutions demanding that the CCP compensate victims of COVID. I wrote the first draft of the resolution. This is almost 2 years ago. The resolution that essentially kicked Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger out the party for their outrageous conduct on the J6 committee. So we're a lot of times the head of the RNC is not happy with what we're doing. Rana did not want us putting that resolution through, nor did Kevin McCarthy, nor did any of the establishment want us putting that resolution through, calling out Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and stating they should not be supported as Republicans. But you know what? 1 week after they were all up in arms because we did that resolution, Kevin McCarthy and Elise Stefanik both withdrew their endorsements of Liz Cheney, and they endorsed Wyoming Committeewoman Harriet Hageman, who is now Congresswoman Hageman, from Wyoming. So, again, the tail can wag the dog.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've got some questions on the line. Let's take the first one.
It's so good, John Quackerson. It's so good to hear from you and the good news you're bringing. I have a couple quick things. First of all, how do we contact you, email or whatever? Secondly, RNC, I believe, used to have, hopefully it still has, some training materials on precinct work, developing precinct organizations, et cetera. That's one thing the Republican Party in the state is woefully lacking. Hopefully you can tell me if those things are still there at RNC. The third thing is Morton Blackwell. Is he still a committeeman? I've known him for many years. I've been to a dozen LI schools, and I used to be in meetings with him up in D.C. So three quickies.
Yes,
thank you.
The legendary Morton Blackwell is still our committeeman. He is still sharp as a tack. He is tremendously respected at the RNC, and it's my privilege to be his counterpart. I will never be his peer, but I'm very happy to be his counterpart. The way that you can contact me, I have a Facebook page, which is Patty with an I, Patty Lyman, RNC National Committeewoman for Virginia. I am going to get my website put together and get other things updated. I am running for reelection this coming year, but, you know, I have too much respect for our 140 Virginia General Assembly candidates and others. I'm not going to talk about my reelection until after we get those guys elected next week. But you can contact me through my Facebook page, which is Patty with an I, Lyman, RNC National Committeewoman for Virginia.
Well, look, I supported you when you ran last time, and if people like you can persuade me to remain a part of this Republican apparatus, you will certainly have my support. Either way, you will have my support next time as well, Patty.
Well, that means a lot to me. America needs the Republican Party. Do you know that as pathetic as we can be at times, Bishop, the only thing standing between our friends and neighbors and the Democrats who are hell-bent on destroying their lives, the lives of regular people, is us, the Republican Party. We're the thin red line. We got to stick with it.
All right, let's take another question.
Yes, thank you, Bishop Jackson and Patty. It's great to hear you guys. Again, with Mike Johnson's election as Speaker, and all of a sudden we see a politician with a biblical worldview come forward, where do you think will be the next steps in our party as far as other people speaking about their how they form their worldview and how they make decisions? And again, how do we counter people like Jen Psaki, you know, who makes an argument that to have a view like that is sometimes somehow out of mainstream? And again, we know that that's the type of view that we want our politicians and our leaders to have. So if I could hear your comments, both of you, on that, thank you.
All right, thank
you. Go ahead,
you.
Bishop.
Well, look, I was going to ask you to comment on this, Patty, because I think we are facing a serious anti-Christian bigotry that is rising in our country like nothing we've ever seen before. I mean, to comment on somebody's saying, I really believe God has called me to this place, or, I mean, that's mainstream Christian thought, that we believe God is the one who is engineering our lives when we submit to him, and to turn that into some kind of bizarre, crazy, not out of the mainstream statement just goes to show how far the culture has degenerated into what I think is really just anti-Christian bigotry. But you go ahead and respond.
I would turn the question on them and say, well, yes, Jesus Christ and biblical truth guides my life. Can you explain to us what guides your life? What's your source? You know, there used to be people would say, well, yeah, I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? Whose fool is Jen Psaki? I want to know what guides the decisions of the left, because that needs to be exposed, because most people in this country don't believe in that.
Yeah, and their worldview is just becoming more and more bizarre. And while I said that they're trying to run away from the anti-Semitism, for example, that's running rampant on our college campuses, they're really the authors of that. I mean, it comes out of that Marxist, socialist, leftist worldview and that racial worldview in which they see the world between oppressors and the oppressed, and somehow they put the Israel in the category of oppressors, and therefore Israel needs to be punished and Israel needs to be denigrated. The Jews who've suffered persecution throughout their history, they're the problem, not the Islamic terrorists who want to kill us and kill the Jewish people. So
we must stand with Israel. No matter what, we must stand with them.
Amen. Amen. Tell us again, Patty, how do people get in touch with you? You mentioned your Facebook page. Run that by us again, and Pastor Ball, let's make sure we get that in our next letter to people so that they can make sure they can get in touch with us.
Sure. My Facebook page is Patty Lyman, RNC National Committee Woman for Virginia. My name, Patty, is spelled with an I. I also have an email. It is Patty, PattiForVA, PattyForVA@gmail.com.
Well, look, I think you are doing a magnificent job, and I tell you, you give hope to a lot of people in the Republican Party who I'm sure you know are really quite disgusted with the Republican Party writ large. But you, and like you said, people like Bob Good and others who are really standing firm on a biblical foundation, that ought to give everybody a great deal of hope, because you're right, you all are the thin red line between the utter nihilism that the Democrat Party is trying to drag the country into. So, Patty, thank you for taking time to join us. It's always a pleasure and an honor, and call on us anytime.
The honor is all mine, Bishop. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Folks, a real star in the Republican Party, and I think all of you have heard me say at this point that I'm getting a lot of counsel to leave the Republican Party, to run for president as an independent rather than as a Republican, because Ronna McDaniel leading the march has been terrible to me. I mean, absolutely terrible. They have really smothered my campaign by refusing to acknowledge the legitimacy of my candidacy as a Republican, as a declared Republican candidate. I mean, refuse to acknowledge it. And I think that shut down a lot of media and made it very, very difficult to continue. But with three candidates having dropped out, Hurd dropped out, Suarez dropped out, I think it's Suarez down in Miami, and then Pence dropped out, but I'm still in. So, you know, if you can't beat them, maybe you just have to outlast them. But folks, be praying for us. Look, my primary goal and my primary desire, if you will, is to see our country saved. If I could do that as President of the United States, believe me, I'd be honored to do that. If I can help do that in other ways, you know, that's fine. As long as that's the outcome, that's what I'm after. That's why I always told people whenever I ran. For me, it's really not just about trying to win an office, although never ran without wanting to win, obviously. But it's also about the goal. What is the goal? The goal is saving America. The goal is calling us back to those foundational principles. That's what this quest is really all about. So whether I can do that as a Republican or independent, or whether I can do that as a candidate or in some other fashion, remains to be seen, but I'm going to keep doing that no matter what. So I just want you all to be reassured of that. No matter what the outcome of this quest is, I am not going to back off, back away, crawl into a corner, and feel sorry for myself. I am going to continue fighting because it's my country and its fate that ultimately motivates me. My faith in God and my belief that God gave us this nation that ultimately motivates me to fight on. So I'm not quitting no matter what. Now, if you all would like to encourage me to stay in, go to my website, ewjacksonforpresident.com. You can, if you got thoughts about whether I should run as a Republican or independent, please leave them. I would be happy to hear what you have to say about it as we contemplate what the next steps might be. I'm going to be working very hard on Stand as well, because Stand is called Staying True to America's National Destiny for a reason. I mean, the organization was formed, again, to help save the country. So I'm going to be doing that job also no matter what. So I'm not sure what the next steps are going to be as yet. I can tell you all that we're having a fundraiser for Stand on November the 15th up in Northern Virginia, and another one probably a day or two thereafter in Goochland County. So stand by for those. And then stand by for announcements. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing with, if anything, with the campaign. But I'm looking to hear from you all. I'm praying. I'm seeking God's face as to what the next steps would or could or should be. I can tell you this. Let me just amplify this, folks. This anti-Semitism you see on college campuses, believe me, that applies to Christians as well. The same people who hate Jews hate Christians. And they really do hate us. I mean, there is, when you hear somebody denigrating another person's faith that way, can you imagine somebody saying that about a Muslim? No, all you hear is excuses made for Muslims, excuses made even for these terrorists, even Hamas. We're being told, oh, no, Hamas, they weren't cutting the heads off babies. Oh, no, that's an exaggeration. Oh, well, I guess they didn't bomb the World Trade Center either. And I guess they don't throw homosexuals off roofs. And I guess they don't kill people and cut their heads off on film so that the whole world can see how brutal and bloodthirsty and evil they are. I guess none of that is, all that's made up too. I mean, who are we kidding? These people are consorting with evil. It's what they want. It's who they are. And the people supporting them here are complicit. They are part of the whole evil process and transaction that is leading to the mass slaughter of the Jewish people, and they have every right to defend themselves. And I've said publicly, Israel must wipe Hamas out. They must wipe them out. They say wipe out the Palestinians, but they must wipe out Hamas. They must destroy their ability or their will to fight. And that means they've got to do whatever it takes to get that job done. And they're doing what they can to protect civilians, and God bless them for that. That's good. That's honorable. That's the decent thing to do. But they've got to wipe Hamas out, or they will never be safe. They will never be secure. Israel will never have a peaceful day. So there it is, folks. I mean, we've something, and we don't, and the problem is, how many candidates have you heard say that? Because they don't want to say that. How many candidates have you heard say, well, you know, homosexuality is sin and we're not going to celebrate it? They're not going to say that. How many candidates have you heard say, you know, we shouldn't be measuring the weeks by which we can kill an unborn baby. We should be recognizing that that baby from the moment of conception is a human being just like you and I were, and we shouldn't be killing it at all. We should be letting that person live the same way we were allowed to live. But no, they're not going to say that. That's a little bit too truthful, a little bit too straightforward for them, and they don't want to hear you say that. Well, you know, Ronna McDaniel doesn't want to hear that. I called for her resignation the moment she came out with all this stuff of celebrating Gay Pride Month and all that nonsense. I said she needs to resign. She needs to go. And apparently, from what I'm hearing, which I didn't get into this, from what I'm hearing, she surrounded herself with these activist homosexual types. Now, why in the world a Republican leader is supporting that and surrounding herself with that and immersing herself in that, I don't know. And why in the world Trump continued to appoint her, I do not know either. I don't have a hard time opposing that appointment at all. I've called for a resignation. I mean, look, Patty is absolutely right. The Republican Party had better stand for what it stands for, or it's going to go. I mean, it's just going to go, because I'm not going to support a Republican Party that's going along with all this stuff. Glad to hear what Ronna had to say. Glad to hear that. But if the Republican Party just becomes Democrat light, I'm gone. I mean, I don't even have anything to think about. And there are a lot of Christians right now who are feeling that way about the Republican Party. I mean, they're just downright sick of it. Sick of the games and sick of the compromises and sick of the efforts to try to be accepted by the New York Times or the Washington Post. And they just want some courageous warriors who will stand for what they stand for and fight for this country and not allow these Democrats to destroy it. And frankly, I don't see a single candidate in the race other than the former president who I think is going to do that. And part of his problem is he got a lot of those New York attitudes. And he's going to have to deal with some of that. Somebody's going to have to deal with him on that, because he's having meetings with the Log Cabin Club and all that. He needs to stop that. He needs to stop that. We need to take a strong stand on family and life and period. Put a point on it. And no compromising, because every time we compromise, they end up winning. They take more territory, and we lose more. So, folks, we're going to keep fighting. I mean, we are going to keep fighting no matter what. I told a story. If you didn't see this, you can see it, I think, on my Facebook page. But when I went and spoke out in Richland County for a Mike Caudill event, he's running for district attorney out there. I told this alluded to the story of George Washington. I said, you know, when George Washington met Cornwallis in Yorktown, Cornwallis had no idea that he was walking into the final battle he would fight, that it was over, that he was walking into the end. Because he'd been beating George Washington for 5 years, and he just seemed to be on a roll. And he had no idea that it would soon be over. But George Washington, because he was relentless, because he wouldn't quit no matter what, because he kept looking for his opportunity, ultimately he got it. and the war was over. So you don't know when the break is going to come. You don't know when the breakthrough is going to come. We don't know how it might come. We don't know what might happen. But I'm convinced that if we stay on the battlefield, the moment's going to come when the battle is over and the victory is won. So in the meantime, all you and I need to do is to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.